The Star Wars Battlefront Entertainment Pack includes all new, limited edition, lighter, slimmer white PSP with Darth Vader art and Star Wars Battlefront Renegade Squadron game. Play on widescreen LCD or on any TV with video out.
Hello and welcome to the GFW Radio Podcast. This is the podcast for October 9th, 2007. This is Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief of Games for Windows, the official magazine. And I'm here with three of the official editors of Games for Windows, the official magazine. And they are as follows.
Ryan Scott.
Chen.
Sean Mulai.
Darren is out. Darren is off to L.A. to see some game or other. It's not really a secret, is it? Is it a secret?
Don't tell him. It'll be
It's a secret?
Just in
Okay.
case.
Okay.
Leave him wondering.
It's a secret.
Darren's seeing a game, everybody.
Yeah, he'll be back. But we're here. Oh, no Bobito this week either.
Yeah, he'll be back next week. We tried to get Crispin Boyer from EGM on, but he was too busy.
Yeah, we're going to have Crispin audition for sixth
chair. He'll come in some other... audition.
Seventh.
Or seventh chair.
Because Bobito's a lock for the sixth.
Bobito has a sixth. Crispin is going for seventh. Do you guys watch House?
No.
On TV occasion. Show House? No. Right now, because he fired... His whole staff from last season is gone. He had three. And so this season... I think the old three are going to come back, but right now they're doing this extended thing where he's like trying to get a new team together, mm-hmm. and he's got this room of like 50 that he has assigned to different things. So that's what I think. I think we need like 50 chairs in here.
We
fill the room with like
a reality show
GFW
style,
clown
car
radio.
Podcast. It's all
clown
about
car
that.
Podcast.
Just shove them all in this room.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So wait, are the old actors still like on the show?
Yeah, they're showing up. They'll be back.
Back.
Right.
Like
Dan Shu for 12th chair.
Like that South Park where they're looking for a Kenny replacement.
You want to play the part, but what role? I ripped the fourth chair leg from your butthole. Drum roll. Drum roll.
Drum roll. Wow.
That's good.
That's some freestyle.
I like that.
So, So we're here. I know that Mr. Elliot has played some opposing fronts.
You've been playing more. I played some last week, too, but the hard thing about talking about that game, there's always... there's always this circumstance where we have where not everyone on staff is playing.
Right.
And people always...
Or
not
no,
always
no one at you.
It's like, just me talking about some shit. So there's that. And then there's this other factor, and that's... Whereas I'm super confident with FPSs and talking about, the balance and just the way that they're put together and the quality of everything. RTS, I have a more limited perspective. And I think it seems dangerous to make these sweeping, pronouncements about balance and issues and things like that, because what happens more often than not is you start bitching about something or some tactic, and really you just didn't search the internet hard enough for a counter tactic.
We could just go,
they did that 5 years ago in StarCraft, Sean.
Right.
Way to go.
So.
Some expert.
Yeah, you're either a walking encyclopedia or you're an idiot. Like, no
so
in between.
It's kind of intimidating to play it and feel like, when people ask for my take on it, it's like I can only really give you, what it's like for me to play it and why I'm interested in it.
Right.
And why it got me into, despite the fact that I haven't traditionally played games in that genre. Heavily.
Yeah, this was kind of your gateway, wasn't it, to RTSs?
Yeah, it was. It was like, I played Warcraft 2 way back when, and like my classic story of dabbling with that Star Wars RTS, I forget which one, but it had like 7 resources to farm.
Oh,
and it was just
Galactic Battlegrounds?
Yeah, disgusting piece of crap.
Is that the one?
Yeah, that's the one.
The AoE ripoff?
Yeah. That wasn't a ripoff.
It was, too.
It was an homage.
It was like
homage off.
Part by part. But this is this is an awesome game. It's an awesome series. I'm kind of wondering how well it's doing. I haven't seen too much hype.
It's just been out for a week.
It just came out, and it's bad timing. The same reason with Quake Wars, which is another fantastic game, and it's like
for how, these how weird
kind
is
of
that,
online
that
games,
no
you know, it's
buzz
like,
for Quake Wars. Isn't that weird? That seems unexpected to me.
There's some buzz,
I think,
but it's
Team
kind
Fortress
of like
is stealing its thunder.
Team Fortress is stealing everything's thunder right now. The other thing is that the beta was out for a while, so people kind of like went through that phase with the beta
of Quake Wars.
Of Quake Wars, right? And I also think that like that game in particular really came out too late. I'm not like writing it off, and I can't wait to get playing with it. Part of the reason I haven't been playing it as much as I should is because. I play with a freelancer and friend of mine, Rory Mannion, and he doesn't have it yet. And it's like, we get on TeamSpeak and we start shooting the shit and we're going to play a game. If he doesn't have it, then we're just going to go and play
What do you mean it came out too late, though? What do you mean by that?
I was really of the mindset that it was supposed to come out last holiday season, and had it, it would have been up against Battlefield 2142, or the two would have been out at the same time, and it would have really, visually...
Is it that late?
Yeah, it's been in development for a long time. Mm-hmm. It just seems like then it would have had basically the market almost all to itself. And or any time earlier this year when, you know how... If you look back at GFW radios, there was this big stretch when I was talking about nothing but Battlefield 2, and that was the game that I like poop-socked nonstop.
Yeah, we weren't really listening to you then, so it
you
doesn't
weren't.
Matter.
Yeah. But you might remember hearing something about it. So I was really looking for a replacement for that. 2142 didn't do it for me. It wasn't a horrible game, but it didn't have the legs for me. And I really wanted, something like Quake Wars to come out. So that's why I think, maybe it's... We'll see. I have no idea.
It could still gather momentum here, right?
It totally could. It's just, again, to keep in mind that, Crisis with Power Struggle Mode's coming out. Unreal Tournament 3 is coming out. So you have, other games
time.
In this category to play with. And it's even been hard to, right now what I do is I go back and forth between Opposing Fronts and Team Fortress 2. But on Opposing Fronts... I wanted to say, I hope it does well because their plans, as stated, very loosely, it wasn't like a set in stone roadmap for the future, but they want to, look at the Eastern Front, the Pacific, basically all aspects of World War II. And I'd love to see those games from them. And what they put out with Opposing Fronts is awesome. I mean, when I'm playing it and it takes me so long to learn, race in scare quotes because, it's just another army mm-hmm. in the game. It takes so long to master them to the point where I'm comfortable and I can go into a public game and from the beginning not have these moments where I say, God, what the hell should I be doing right now? What should I be prioritizing? These builds? Do I need to go aggressive? Should I turtle? Whereas when I could still load up in this game, the American or the original Axis army, and do those, but so it's a total learning process. And what I was thinking about was like, how they're Dawn of War. How many classes? How many races are they up to now?
They're up to seven or nine.
That just seems,
I think it's going to be nine by the time Soulstorm comes.
Yeah, and that just seems ridiculous to me. Like, God, dude, and it's so hard. I really don't know how they do it.
Well,
and
they gave a predict- to balance them and
make them unique at the same time.
Yeah, they gave a good. Because I called them on it when we did the preview for that because. That was one of the guy's answers to me on the phone was like, it was kind of like but this goes to 11. It was a little bit like that,
Yeah.
Like, all game has 9 races.
Right.
And I was kind of like, why is 9, all game has more races. He's not even English. I don't know why. Our game has more races than any other RTS. No other RTS has done 9. And I was kind of like, why is that good?
Yeah, Age of Empires.
Like StarCraft has 3,
uh-huh.
and it's like the best RTS ever.
It's like Street Fighter or something. When you throw in and they get to the point where there's like 24 characters, and it's like, well, it's fine. There's only 5 that people play when they want to win.
Right, but he had good counter arguments to it. The races evolve out of, the races are all real ones from the Warhammer universe, so they're not making them up.
Right.
But they're added to the game for, for what they offer new to the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And then that actually helps them rebalance the other ones to actually be even more unique. That was his argument.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a matter of stripping away attributes of one race and applying
them
to one of the other new ones, though. Yeah. So it's kind of... But so far, there's none of that. I mean, they're so in Company Heroes Opposing Fronts. The British and the Panzer Elite armies are so different from one another, and so different from the two original armies that it's really crazy. And it's like, it's just taking me time to get competent with them again and to find. I was looking up some rush strategies for the British, and one particularly devious tactic. As long as you're playing against the Wehrmacht as opposed to the Panzer Elite, because basically what happens is when you start your game, you have your HQ area and you have different types of the original German army has machine gun nests that defend it. But then the other guys have these flat cannons, and that's part of the reason why you can't do this rush strategy. But you basically take a personnel carrier immediately into their backfield. And because with a captain in the thing, you can call for everyone to retreat to the captain instead of your HQ. So what happens then is you get as many units as you can, Tommy soldiers to race through. And since they're running at full retreat speed, they run right past the machine gun nest. And then you get them inside their back area and then have them dig trenches where they're almost unstoppable. And if it's early enough in the game, then you just start setting up base right on their doorstep, literally. And that kind of stuff's fun. The single player is definitely cool, too. I've only been playing a little bit of that, other than to say that the voice work for this time, instead of subtitling the German, they actually have English with the German accent on it.
That's too bad.
And some of it's just really bad.
So it's kind of Hogan's Heroes?
Some of it is, yeah. Some of them sound, I couldn't tell if they were supposed to be Vichy or what, but some of them sound French, but I don't think it's intentional. And there's just some weird, you know, like, brother, do you see them coming down? Like, it's just, you know, I mean, it's all very, I know he's Austrian, but you know, the Bruno character from Ollie G.
Yeah, sure.
It's very much like they're all Bruno.
I wonder why they did it that way.
I don't know. Maybe people just weren't feeling
Hans,
it.
Hans, pass me a bratwurst.
Yeah, they couldn't read it in the first one.
Tell the Allies not to invade yet. I have Scheisse.
Yeah, maybe they got complaints about the subtitles.
Why are there these weird squiggly lines on my screen when I'm trying to play?
Another note on that game, and I do want, like, that's something I want to find people to play with from, you know, our listeners and our message boards and stuff, because when you do, like, 4v4 battles, the game's insane. But the trick is just not getting the, I mean, because people are of such uneven skill levels.
4v4?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a lot of people.
It's crazy in that game, especially with all that artillery. I mean, with the V, you know, the V1 rockets, and I mean, there's just so much destruction.
I can't imagine
crazy.
An RTS
it's like
with
the biggest armor graveyard ever in the middle of the map. But because people are of uneven skill levels, the problem is you get a group of guys that are just, they'll just cream you. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a couple guys that I played with too. A shout out to listeners, Druzz. And his brother and this other guy, Laughter Kills Me, if you play with them on your team, it's pretty much like a comp stomp. It's like you're just guaranteed to annihilate the other guys because they're that good that even if you're not pulling up your end of the bargain, they'll just like rush over and rescue you. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, hopefully you can find a bunch of other
That's
people
cool.
that are like not super confident, you know, in their abilities yet and get some good games going.
I have not done multiplayer RTS gaming in a long time.
It's tough business.
It goes back years.
What was the last one?
I think like Age 2, honestly.
Wow. Yeah. See, it's weird. Like, I never play single player RTS.
Really? You only play online?
That's
or multiplayer?
When I buy an RTS, that's all I ever really play.
Like, what's the last one you played multiplayer?
You mean single player?
Yeah.
The last single player RTS I think I played was a game I reviewed called No Man's Land.
And we all
that
remember
was
that.
That was why I played the single player, though, specifically because I was...
Because there was no one to play multiplayer?
Or no, I mean, it's like, you know, I had to play the single player because I was reviewing the game. Otherwise, I wouldn't have touched it. You know, like, I played, like, a few missions in Warcraft 3, never finished the campaign.
Huh.
You know, for example.
So what's your favorite multiplayer RTS, then?
I haven't gotten into one in a while. The last one I played that I really liked was Rise of Nations.
Rise of Nations?
That was because I was good. I was
great
decent, decent at it.
Yeah.
I'm really psyched for the next Age expansion because it's by the Rise of Nations guys.
Right.
The big, huge games guys.
Heard it's pretty good.
The buzz is good. Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys should play some Company Heroes with me.
Yeah, no, I want to play.
I
just played the whole first game again to get ready for this. So
it's all about
single
online.
Player,
it's so much fun online. That's the other reason too why people are waiting for us to talk about World and Conflict.
And I know.
Like, well, I played that beta. It's like that's just like yet another game now. I'm, you know, you only have so many so many hours.
The problem is I need an AI because the AI is always stupider than me.
Right.
When it's other people,
yeah.
Chances are I'm going to lose.
And again, you know, we said this before. It's like the difference is that. You go into an RTS online, you either win or you lose.
Well, yeah.
And it's hard to feel good.
Or you disconnect.
No matter how, yeah. No, option three. But you still lose when you disconnect.
Yeah.
They'll mark it down as a loss. But yeah, I mean, when you lose in an RTS, it sucks. It's not like, I'll play you again. It's like, it's pretty crushing.
Demoralizing.
You know? Yeah, it's very demoralizing. Like, well.
I used to, back in Age of Empires was the game where the game wouldn't be officially over. The other guy wouldn't get the victory
until like every unit was dead of yours,
right?
Or you surrendered
every single unit.
So I would always hide. Near the end. I would always hide a couple units in the corner.
It's crazy. It took the things we take for granted now.
That, I know. I'm not quitting. I'm not dead yet. Didn't say victory for you. Did it?
Warcraft 3. You got one pee on just running around building houses.
Exactly.
You have to go find him.
It's crazy. It took as long as it did to find the solutions to these things. I remember at a time Dreamcast football came out. I think it was one of the 2K football games. And it had this thing where you're playing online and you could pause it indefinitely. And the first person to leave would count as a lose. So people would just do these bullshit waiting games where, oh, I'm down by 14. Well, guess what? I got to go take a shit. Then I got to go make dinner. Then I got to pick the kids up. Then I got to go shopping. And then I'm going to see if you're still paused. And, you know, I've heard tales of people waiting.
Wow. Like just days, to get the victory.
Entire days. Yeah. Yeah. With the thing on pause. So it's kind of weird that, you know, it's just like how does that stuff happen? That's what's interesting, you know, to transition to TF2, because we're going to say a little bit more about that, how you can tell the difference now where it's almost, it's seemingly almost exploit proof, because they've been around the block so many times, they know immediately, like, okay, we don't want people getting here in the map and this and that. Although I did just recently get word of something I want to try tonight where you can build a teleporter in such a way right on the border of your spawn exit that you'll lock everyone in your spawn. Which is funny because that was like the first things that we tried in Fortress Forever. And in Fortress Forever, you can lock people in with sentry guns in your spawns. Right. And I guess someone had that going. Saw some screenshots. It looked pretty fun.
What do you mean locked in? Like,
so, you know, you start in your spawn room.
Uh-huh.
And for whatever reason, the way that the teleporter goes down, like right on the border, because normally you can't build inside of your resupply.
Yeah.
But you get it right on the fringe, and it lets you build. And then I guess you stand on the you come through the teleporter, and you don't move. And for whatever reason, no one else is able to get outside.
Huh.
And there's no friendly fire, so
I guess right.
If the enemy comes and gets you, then you go. But if they don't,
sounds rad.
Then you have a captive audience. That's bad. They'll fix it, you know.
It's yeah, like that sounds like
they'll totally patch that. Fixable. No doubt. They've been tweaking that game so frequently.
How's the pyro? Did they?
Pyro's oh my god, tweaked. The pyro is still so tough.
You know, some people are asking for some tips. I want some more pro
some tips.
Pro tips
from Thon.
So I can give you guys a few.
Cue the Team Fortress 2 tips music. Thanks.
One thing is like to general for people who play spies, there's like a few things that people don't know, and it's funny because like by saying these, I'm kind of preventing for however many people listen to this and actually play the game, which is probably very few, all 10 of you, will stop doing this dumb behavior I'm about to describe that lets me kill you so easily. Whenever you go through a teleporter, you have, you know, your team colored particle effects kind of trailing behind you, mm-hmm. teleporter mojo effect. And so if a spy goes through a teleporter, even if he's disguised as the other team, say your red team, and you see a teammate running around with blue shit trailing behind him, well, what do you know?
Guess what?
Then you shoot him, and then he screams, "How the fuck did you know?" Well, that's one way you know. So anyway, so if you're playing spy and you're going to use a teleporter, you should always check first, make sure that you're clear of that. That's super basic. That's like 101 spy. Other things that people just, you know, is they want to go spy. I was like, you know, I was talking to Robert Ashley because they see you get crazy kills and crazy points on it, and then they go spy, and then how do you do it? Everyone just shoots me the second I appear.
Yeah.
So the trick so far at the skill level I'm playing spy at now, and I'm sure, you know, ask me again in 2 weeks and maybe I'll have revised my tactics, but you never want to, and again, I apologize to the diehard TF2 players because this is all no-brainer stuff, but I'm sure there are quite a few people that don't know these things. You always want to cloak and try to get behind the enemy. You never want to approach him from the front. Especially if you're in disguise. So what I'll generally do, say if I'm on defense, that's another thing. Spy is a very effective defensive class. Everyone tends to think of it as offensive because you want to go in and take out sentry guns and stuff. But say we're on Dust Bowl or something, I'll go spy and I'll use my invisibility and timing
so that no one sees me, not even in a disguise, and I'll get all the way up to their thing, and I'll go right behind their spawn, and then I'll come out of cloak, run straight when no one's looking, and just go with the herd, because they're all running out. At that point, they're less likely to spy check you, which is basically to shoot you and see if you bleed, than if you come running at them and from the front of the field, and it makes no sense. Say you're disguised as, you know, maybe it will for a sniper or something, but if you're disguised as a heavy, heavies don't go running backfield. So that's another thing. But then at that point, you get them lined up, and especially if the rest of your team is holding them back and they're all focused forward on going upfield, then you just chop your way through all of them, because they're all looking forward, and it takes a minute before they realize what's happening. And again, save up your invisibility so that as soon as you know, like, it looks like the gig is up, you go invisible and hide and relocate and wait it out again. Certain times, if you don't have enough, you know, it's like, don't be afraid to use your Magnum. It's a totally effective weapon. Say if an engineer spots you and you're at medium range and it's his shotgun against your Magnum, like, by all means, if you're a good aim, go for it. You'll probably win. If it's a pyro, though, and he's close, I mean, pretty much anyone, you never want to get close. That's like the rule, never get close to a pyro. But you're pretty much dead already. And that's the other thing is spy. Like, just do not ever go near them. I mean, maybe you can go for some backstabs, but because all they have to do is spam their flame, and if you're invisible, it'll set you on fire. And
oh, shit.
You're not, everyone's going to be shooting at you anyway. And heavies are another trick. They're great to stab because they're slow to turn around. But if they do suspect you in the field invisible, like I said before, every time they hitch, anytime anyone hits you and you're invisible, it silhouettes you briefly. And because that gun fires so many shots, you basically are not invisible.
Cloaked.
Yeah. So that's a good technique. Going back, more advanced is, like, if you're wondering, and I guess this engineer technique at the same time, because they're both, you know, opposed classes. Engineers, you always want to build some place where you can have your back to a wall so you don't get stabbed in the back. Or you can have your back to your own dispenser, even better yet. And if you're crouched down, you're getting healed and getting ammo and you're banging on your SG. Meanwhile, a spy, you never want to just go up and you're just going to give engineers points by throwing sappers on shit that they're banging on when you can't stab them. So you always want to kill them first. And if you kill them from such a position that their gun has to turn a significant amount, you have time to do your stab and quickly go invisible. Then you put your costume on, and then you come out of invisibility, and then you put the sappers on. Yeah.
I'm listening to you, but I'll just never play this.
It's just
class.
Nonsense.
It's not nonsense. It's just
butter.
It's
not for you.
No, it's just too hard. For me. I can't do it.
You're playing medic with this last night.
I was playing medic, and I learned to love the medic. I know you know you dissed it last. I couldn't play it even when I wasn't on your server and not think I'm being like this guy's fluffer or something. I'm following this guy around. Let me heal you, sir.
Yeah.
But I, you know, on a map where I was playing Dust Bowl with these guys, and on a map where, you know, on offense, it can really make a difference.
It makes all the difference in keeping
these guys, you know, and the invulnerability is just absolutely key. I was also finding that I was getting better scores, not just better than my own other performances, but then, like, most of the team. I was ranking near the top of the ranking just by healing.
Right, because you're sharing points with the guy who's doing the killing.
Yeah, so I got into it. I found it, you know.
A parasite.
Well, I kind of found it like Ryan. I agree. I think it is a kind of a nice
symbiote.
It's a nice gateway into this kind of game.
You feed it totally on is, yeah. Brazil, Mongongo, and D's nuts.
And not just because you don't have to aim.
Right. Well, the not aiming does help. I mean, you have like this wide, you know, you got the wide stretch where you just vaguely aim the thing anywhere.
The proton pack?
Yeah. There's a problem, though, like when Rory and I are playing, we're just like bitching about medics all the time.
Yeah.
Because of that, it seems like you get the least talented people playing medics all the time, and it can be atrocious because you think you've got one set and you're like, okay, this guy's behind me, and all of a sudden he disappears and you're like, okay, he just had a 100% for his Uber charge, and he's like, he either doesn't do it or he does it when there's nothing happening, or you run out and you're like, okay, let's take the flag, and you go and you look, and then he stopped doing it and put it on like a sniper or something. Right. Like, what the fuck
Well,
are you
there's
doing,
absolutely
dude?
Strategy with that class, like there is with everybody else. Exactly. You need to know when to use your Uber. Mm-hmm. You need to know.
It's not that hard.
Well, right. But I mean, you know, to save it for those key moments when someone's running back with a flag or
and
not a flag.
It's useful to use on classes or, other than the heavy.
Well, right.
It's like bringing the lowest common denominators together. It's like the heavies and the medics. And
I used
them,
it.
And they see each other and they're like,
yeah.
Right.
You are my friend.
I had a problem when I was playing medic of heavies like getting an Uber charge and then like turning into a wall and shooting for the duration of it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. Well, or right. See, that just shows they're stupid people no matter what class
right.
you're playing. I used my health. It wasn't an Uber, but I just kept my health going on a sniper, actually, at one point. And it was rad because the guy just stood there. They kept trying to take him out. Mm-hmm. He was picking people off one by one from far away, and they couldn't get him because I kept him fully charged.
Mm-hmm. If you do it on a – I had this insane run with like a medic who was playing. I forget his name, so I can't shout him out. Maybe it was I have candy. I'm not sure, but
I have candy.
And, but with the demo man, it's just awesome. And that's a demo man tip. The general thing would be like, don't be afraid of using your pipe bombs, and don't just use them for the obvious, like you know, sticking them all in the capture point. Use them offensively, and you know when you're in a fight. And
yeah, can I ask you a dumb question about that?
Uh huh.
Because I tried to play demo man for like one round, for like a minute and a half. Uh-huh. And I just, what are the difference between the two kinds of bombs?
The first is a grenade that will explode on direct impact.
Okay.
Deep impact. That's actually a name of a sushi roll, a place I go to, and it's actually spelled that way. So maybe that's where. Deep impact. On impact or on the second bounce, I think. Or they just tweaked that. They used to blow up on the second bounce. I think now they don't. But so it's basically fire and forget, right?
Okay. Yeah.
The way I play with that is obviously if you see a group of people and you're far away, you just spam them into them, or you give the right lead. You get a sense for how fast they fly, which isn't very, and how fast your enemy's moving. You can nail them. It's ruthless that way. The other, you fire them and then you detonate them with your mouse, with your second mouse button.
Oh, okay.
And they stick to things. So, you know, the classic scenarios would be around a blind corner when they don't see them there. Mm-hmm. And also to know you don't have to just stick them on the ground. You could stick them on the roof, on the walls where people are less likely to look, especially roofs because people just are used to looking elsewhere.
But they don't detonate
the
until you detonate
and then
them.
You detonate them.
So you got to go even, hide. And
it's not even proximity. That's you have to trigger them.
Mm-hmm. So that's the second level. People get used to using them the way you're saying, getting a safe distance and just waiting to hit the charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what I mean by actively doing it is you don't – it's not all or nothing. You might just shoot one and detonate it because they're very powerful.
They're more powerful than the other ones?
I don't think so. I don't know exactly. I don't have the details. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
We need numbers.
I know they're powerful. But so, you know, like if a medic's got you ubercharged, that's another thing. You want to tell the medic, it's like, hey, let me reload all my stuff first. You don't have to do that with a heavy. Or other, just make sure he's got ammo because that's dumb too. And a heavy gets an Uber and he's got nothing but a shotgun and a stupid like fist. But then you throw those and you see if people are retreating, you throw them behind them and they'll retreat into them and then you detonate them. They only retreat from a demo man usually when you got an Uber. Otherwise, they rush you. Then you run backwards and throw them right at your feet. And then as they run over them, or you go around a corner and throw them, and in their mad rush to get at you, depending again on their class, then you blow them up. But just like I find they're super effective when you use them actively, where it's like when you're in the middle of a duel, shoot them and blow them up and constantly do that instead of, like I said, the all-or-nothing trap method, which is effective too, but to do both. Mm-hmm.
The game is so great. I'm still just totally loving it.
So you're liking the medic?
I am liking the medic. I am. I'm going to stick with it for a while. Also, you know, it's one of those classes. I guess it's just like a healer class in an MMO. Just not that many people want to do it. You know? I mean, it was the rare server when I was bouncing around where the team would already have, you know, enough medics that it would be superfluous for me to pick that class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of the time it's like, oh, there's no medics. I should probably be one.
Exactly.
That was at least my experience.
Pyro would be a decent offensive class, but just in that case, if you're new pyro, especially avoid open areas and stay around in corridors. This is a part of my beef with the pyros that, you know, clearly they say, well, he's supposed to be good at close quarters combat. But the way that every map is designed, they're almost all close quarters combat anyway.
Yeah.
They're all, you know, tunnels and hallways. So any map, look, and if you see, hey, here's a tight area. Just go in there and hold your fire hose down. And then as soon as they get out of range, switch to shotgun and finish.
Yeah, and most of the open areas are the kind of open area you want to try to cross as fast as possible to be out of, like, the sniper fire.
You're right. If you're good, yeah, if you're starting off pyro, just avoid those altogether. Find your little rotten coves and where you can farm for Munda cheese and stay in there.
I definitely would encourage, like, if you've never played an FPS shooter, multiplayer, this one is so good. I mean, I still think there's no getting around the fact that there's, I mean, it's nowhere near the level of the most of the hardcore ones like Counter-Strike in terms of punishing noobs.
Right.
Oh, no way.
But there's still, it depends on the server you get on. But you can certainly get, I mean, I was on a server last night with strangers the first time that I was playing Medic, and I had a good team that, like, it was clear that I was new at it, and there were actually, like, a couple patient guys who over voice chat were actually not being dicks to me.
That's because they probably knew who you were.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, old man. No, because that's not true, because on that same server, about 2 or 3 minutes in, some guy wrote, "Doof, you suck ass." So. Yeah.
You know, on the Team Fortress talk leads to another subject that will transition nicely. So when you're playing that game, increasingly, I start having these conversations where you're like, are you more likely to score a critical when you're outnumbered? Does the demo man's bottle do more damage when it's broken? People saying that you can ubercharge sentry guns? And so as we're playing and we're talking about these things, you know, so all credit goes to Rory. He coined the term. He's like, dude, that's a fucking old nerd's tale. And so equivalent of like the old wives' tale, but for gaming. So I was thinking about, like, maybe you guys got some other cases, because the classic example of the old nerd's tale is in Diablo 2. There's the chat menu and there's this gem on it. And I guess everyone said if you click this thing like 1,000 times, you get, if you're able to, before, you know, you have a limited time, then you get some kind of item or this or that. And I guess to the point where there were spreadsheets proving out, you know, how it worked and stuff online and all this shit, but it was total bunk. It wasn't real. And I figure, like, especially in MMO games and RTS, any genre, really, there's got to be something, but especially those that have any element of chance, which is, like, where the critical hits come in, because then you get the casino, you get the gambler's mentality. You know, when someone, in this case, it's like my dad, he's like, I'm gonna tell you how to play the slots. And you're like, whoa, yeah. Back up a minute there. Like, yeah. There's only one way to play a slot. That's, like, not to play it if you want to win.
Right.
And then, but yeah, then they start bringing up the stuff, like, you know, the one on the corner's good, or you got to do it after when it's a full moon or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you play Keno and you got to use your birthday divided by whatever.
I had a friend who was convinced he had roulette figured out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, you got to play it like this, and this is the pattern.
You mean the betting?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, okay.
Wow.
All right, then.
And is he rich from roulette?
Let me see. No.
But if you were to try it, he just doesn't want to be. He could be.
It was based on, of course, like, one lucky streak where he did that, like, on one day.
So then that,
and then that was, like,
that was how you do it.
And that's, like, you know, yeah. Skinner, yep. Old B.F. Skinner, mm-hmm. would get pigeons to do all sorts of bizarre behaviors by randomly dropping food into their area when they were doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they, you know, without thinking or ever sub-vocalizing or anything, on some base level of pigeon brain, created a correlation between whatever their foot was doing or whatever they were doing, and the food falling in, and is able to get them to do all these bizarre things, and then they'll just do them forever after that.
Right. So,
and
why don't we do this
much
with
your friend at the roulette? He was there that night, and so whatever, he wears the same, you know, same clothes, goes there again. And
so let's do that with Darren, because he's not here today. So we'll just pick on him. Let's, like, find something every time he does it. Like, I don't know. I'll bring him a
reinforce it.
Yeah, I'll get him a pack of M&Ms from the candy machine here, without even saying anything.
Just drop it on his desk.
So every time Darren says something, you know. Just to see if he still does it. Wow. Yeah. Every time I bring up the agency, I get a pack of M&Ms. Something like that.
Skinner did that to me when I was a kid with dick and fart jokes.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that why you still tell them?
Yeah. So what about other old Nerds Tales? You guys are drawing blanks?
The only one I can think of is the one that we did in CGW itself back years ago. We did, it was called like 501 Cheats was the name of that. That was our cover story.
And you put some bullshit in there?
The 501st cheat was a bullshit tip, which reminded me because of your Diablo story. It was a Blizzard thing, and I forget what was out at the time. It was like StarCraft was out and Warcraft 3 was coming out. I forget. Whatever their next game was that was about to come out, our 501st cheat was if you, like, I might have the game wrong, and maybe a listener can correct me, but let's say it was StarCraft, and the cheat was if you go to the StarCraft menu and bring up the console and type this certain thing, it will unlock the complete Warcraft 3 that's actually on the disc.
It was like F10. Go.
It was something like type something or other, and it'll bring up Warcraft 3, which was a complete ludicrous joke because StarCraft had been out for years, and we were saying their entire next game was sitting on the CD all this time,
right.
And all you had to do was type this thing, and you were going to get it.
So you created one.
So we made one up, but then it was crazy. We got so much angry mail from people who thought, like, I tried that and that didn't work. I didn't get it.
Right.
And then our editor-in-chief at the time, who I loved, actually got upset because we put that in without telling him. So we put that cheat in, and then he started getting mail.
It wasn't April Fool's issue where that's...
It wasn't April Fool's. We just said, fuck it, let's just do this. So we had 500... real cheats. You're like, yeah, let's just do a joke one. So he found out that we made this one up, and he calls us in, you know, closes the door. His like face is like red because he's angry, and he's like, you have betrayed the reader's trust. We're like, betrayed their trust? They're just fucking stupid, man. Who would believe that? So that's the only one I can think of.
Yeah. EGM's done those on the cover of the April Fool's issue.
And yeah.
I mean, the classic one with Street Fighter II and Shenlong, and then the
Sonic and
Knuckles and Smash Brothers.
Right.
But I like the spontaneously, you know...
The ones that generate organic.
Sure. Yeah, like the Sasquatch and Grand Theft Auto San Andreas that everyone thought they were seeing. They thought there was a Sasquatch in them woods.
God, I can't.
So we could ask, like, if you're listening,
let's
and
put
you've
this
got
out
some,
there to the readers. Yeah,
hook us up. We want a big, we
old
want a
nerds
compiled
tales.
List of old nerds tales.
There's just got to be a million of them.
Mm-hmm. Then there are those that now and then turn out to be true. The ones where it's like so bizarre, and you're like, "There's no way that." I mean, it sounds like a joke, and then it turns out that it's really.
Right.
Maybe it's true. I've still heard, I don't know, I can't verify this, but I've heard that in Asheron's Call, drops were based on the name of your character and the time, like some kind of like combination of those two. And the people I talked to were swearing that, yeah, it was proven. Like they found the code and they showed that to be true. So maybe that's...
That's like when people play cards, either whether it's with other people or online, and they like think the cards are like out to get them.
Right.
You know? Another 7. Fuck every time.
Well, that was you playing,
fucking game.
Playing what's it called?
On Catan. Yeah,
Catan.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that was proven. That was proven to be cheating.
No,
you're right. I totally am.
I thought it was proven to not be cheating.
Yeah, you busted me. No, I proved it was because I kept losing.
So. Oh, I see. That's how it goes.
You're right. I'm totally busted.
Stinking rotten die. Well, that's how it feels like half the time in Team Fortress. The criticals. It's like they're out to get you.
Yeah.
I hate that.
I got a critical last night as a medic taking out a guy with the saw, and that made me so happy. I was saying
that
before.
Him happy too.
Before we, it was a heavy. Before we, before we turned it on.
Did you hit him? Did you one hit a heavy?
I one hit it a heavy
with the bone saw?
But that's what I was saying before we recorded. There's some weird psychological thing. If you're a medic in enemy territory, like, I've found, at least in the short run, like, guys won't shoot you. They're just like, oh, it's a fucking medic.
And when you say enemy territory, you mean not the game.
No, I mean
in their zone.
In their zone, yeah. I found that sometimes I'll, like, go in, and they'll just, like, look at me like, oh, it's a medic. And I'm able to just, like, casually, like, take out the saw and just...
Start doing surgery on everybody.
That must be because you weren't healing anyone. Because normally, if you're healing someone, they go for you first. They go for the medic first.
That's then they take out.
No, I've not. I just did these kind
if
of
they
like.
See, that's if they see you feeding on these nuts. Then they. Then
I
they
like that image.
You.
No, I just was. I did these like random kind of kamikaze runs into the other side as medic, yeah. just to see what would happen.
Go
and I would get
medic?
Way farther than I thought I would
gun,
get.
The needle gun's pretty effective too. It just keep yeah. In mind is that like that, a, that they drop?
Yeah, you know, the arc is kind of hard to yeah. compensate for.
What kind of damage does that thing do? I never use it.
It's pretty good. It's I get good. Kills it's with it bad. A few times I play yeah. medic.
It's not, yeah, it's not, I mean, you're shooting people with syringes. There's got to be something potent in there.
It took me a long time to figure out what that gun was.
Oh, you couldn't tell?
That little pellet gun thing? Yeah.
You couldn't,
thing?
You didn't look inside the and see the cylinder full of hypodermics and figure it out?
No,
or see the hypodermic sticking to the wall when you miss.
I thought I was just dropping like little, you know, little
Q-tips
health,
or
health gumballs or
something. You still playing at 600
I thought that
by...
was like the healing thing.
See?
At first.
Thank you.
But then I figured
wait,
it out.
Wait, you thought that the syringes,
people with syringes?
I thought like, awesome. Well, I'm shooting them. And
then you found out like you accidentally rolled your mouse wheel.
Whoa! Oh.
Pretty much. I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I saw, you know, I saw people running around and with this like blue umbilical cord connecting them, and it looked like they had the proton pack. And I looked at the needle gun I had, and I said, that's probably it. So I'm going to shoot these at my teammates.
So hopefully it didn't take long to figure that out.
You know, there was another in that map we were playing last night that I don't know what the mode is called, where you have to, it's basically a capture the flag, like you steal the attaché case.
Yeah.
There was a little graphic in there that to me was just one of those moments where like, oh man, they just so nailed the art style for this. When you're carrying that attaché case, there's like pieces of paper flying out of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was just such a, it's a little thing, but to me it was like such a nice touch.
If you,
it's such a beautiful game.
If you play with ultra high textures,
beautiful.
On, which yeah. you should, I mean, that was what the last patch enabled. So if your computer's up to it, like uh-huh. switch textures to ultra high, then you could read those papers that
oh,
fall out
shit.
Of there. And they have the list of the maps available, but it also shows the next five maps that
really?
Valve's going to release for the game. When you look in the closet for the lockers for the characters?
Yeah.
It's like the Pyros in his section. He's got a purse in there.
A purse?
So there's like the
what, is like it, a man
is it
purse?
A woman? Well, they don't know because, you know, how the character's all, you know, heavily suited up and masked.
Oh.
You don't know what's in there. So maybe.
It could be a girl.
Yeah, maybe it's Team Fortress's first woman. Hmm.
Gonna Samus Aran it later.
Yeah, this is a little heavily male, this game. A little sexist.
It is.
They could have made the heaviest.
People all get mad about yeah. the demo man.
Big fat woman.
Demo man's racist because he's fucking what? Scotch.
What?
I think we talked about this before. I'm getting deja vu, yeah. But people got all mad and they say that the demo man's racist because he has a Scottish accent.
Huh. Yeah, actually, there's no minorities at all, right?
And I'm sure the reason he does is because it's funny, and then they avoid the problem. Because instead of like having, you know, the one black character be like, I'll hook you up, bitch, or some other like offensively stereotypical thing. They're like, well, let's just go the opposite direction. Uh-huh. And let's just like have him, you know, whatever. Give him a Mandarin accent or like give, uh-huh. you know, give the Asian guy the Brooklyn accent, you uh-huh. know, whatever. Although there's no.
I think the scout might be Jewish. I'm thinking.
Maybe. He could be.
Because he's kind of got that Brooklyn thing. He's skinny. You know, he's got, hey, paper, mister, kind of thing. I think he could be Jewish.
That's possible. You can keep thinking that. Maybe
I just want to
you.
Be represented in that game.
Going to assign your own attributes to it.
So why don't we
He's
talk
in
about,
therapy twice
let's
a week.
Take a, let's scout. Take one of them little breaks. Think it's about time.
Okay. Yeah, okay. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
All right, okay.
3, 2, 1. You're the best around.
Listen to EGM Live, the weekly podcast for Electronic Gaming Monthly, available every Monday for download at egmlive.oneup.com or podcast.oneup.com or the iTunes Music Store.
Sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg, Johnny.
Sweep the leg.
We've been a little on topic of PC games this week. It's a little dismaying. Is that what happens when Darren's not here? We stay on topic?
It's just we have
that
to talk about,
and we had yeah,
there's actually
we,
lots of games to talk about,
and it's
maybe
like
that's our thing.
We're already racing to finish this next issue that we have 2 weeks to do, so
that's
scary.
Our
we're kind of like I don't know, I haven't had much time to think about other. This is kind of reversed. I'm saying like now I've got it backward. Like we got to prepare to go on the tangents. What am I talking about?
I need more time to think about how
more
to go
time
off topic.
For a tangent.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we got to give the people what they want and do a whole off-topic podcast.
We've threatened to do that several times.
Join the peanut gallery of people talking about the Halo 3 make you go to church.
Oh, story.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, what's up? Ryan, do you have that news story?
Did we print that out?
I didn't print it out.
Ryan's got it.
Apparently, this is from Evil Avatar. And they say the New York Times has an interesting piece on Halo 3, specifically on how church groups are using the game as a tool to attract new members to the congregation. The churches hold Halo Night and stock game rooms with the M-rated title, hoping to get young, prospective congregants into the fold.
Wait, it's not M-rated, is it?
Yeah, yeah, I was just going to say. I was going to stop you right there.
I didn't know that.
Why the hell is it M-rated?
There's no blood in it.
Yeah, there's no blood. There's no profanity.
And you just kill Muppets.
Anyway, go on.
Okay,
I assumed it was M for some reason.
Well,
I don't know why.
The churches hold Halo 3 Night and stock game rooms with the title, hoping to get young prospective congregants into the fold in the process. Church officials compare the practice to old standbys of Protestant churches, including fairs and camping trips, as tools to keep young people away from less wholesome, more dangerous activities. Yeah.
Wow, that's...
So that's some bait and switch.
Yeah, that is.
A little bit.
Sean, you can reenact how that bait and switch goes.
Oh, so you enjoying Halo there, son?
Well, yeah, it's really fun. It's really fun.
what are you fighting there? You're fighting, what's the name of those creatures?
Oh, this is the Flood.
Oh, do you know where the Flood is from? Have you heard of the Flood before?
Well,
you're fighting the Covenant? It's like, let me tell you about another covenant.
I bet that happened.
That probably totally does happen.
I've seen worse, watching, like Trinity Broadcasting Network or some other, evangelical TV show.
Yeah.
I saw this one guy stuffing himself with a candy bar, stuffing his fat face with a candy bar, just gobbling it down as his wife sat next to him like, oh, he's such a card. And then he somehow, I don't remember the exact moral lesson he transitioned to, but it was something about the milk and honey you'll get in heaven or something.
Nice trick.
Or some lesson about things in moderation or something, It was just the most messed up take. Let's turn Halo into a parable.
Wouldn't you be suspicious, though, if you were some kid and you found out that this church was setting up a Halo 3 land?
Yeah.
I don't want to play that in church.
It's
first of all, wouldn't you feel uncomfortable sitting in a church going, you fucking douchebag?
It's definitely not on live. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to be playing the single player.
Okay. That's a good story. I went to a church camp one time and it was the same thing where, like you're saying that, they specifically mentioned camp and we almost got kicked out of it twice just for running around the thing, yelling and screaming. And then at one point, they had this little pond and we were in the canoes and we scraped up all the scum and slime, that accumulates on the top of a lake, and then filled our boat with that, and then went and pelted the counselor dudes with it in their boat, and then so we almost got busted for that. But then one night we were playing paintball in the desert, but we had wrist rockets to do it.
This was in a Jesus camp.
Yeah, and we had and I went with a friend. We had no protective gear on or anything, so that. Considering that this wrist rocket was more than enough to make it hurt, and we were playing at night, and it was a Christian camp, and this one dude was just—he was camping basically. It was like if it was an FBS, this dude was fucking camping, and he would sit in the bush and hide by their flag and shoot you whenever.
He was camping. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and so finally, we were like, all right. Just don't, because it's an honor system. You scream hit when you get hit. Mm-hmm. Most people are more than happy to, so they don't get hit anymore. Mm-hmm. And we're like, I'm just going to suck it up and rush this dude. And he can hit me as many times as he wants. I ain't saying nothing. And I run up to him and then get him. And it's like, all of a sudden, you guys are like, where is this going? It ain't going anywhere. But imagine we're playing with the counselors and it's all quiet and it's the dead of night in the desert. And all of a sudden you hear me yell, got you, motherfucker! and then it got even more quiet.
Yeah. Now, Sean.
Just because I ran up and took four hits from this dude just to push him aside and hit him at point blank.
We got the Flanders kids over there.
You don't use this word in Christian camp.
And then it was all bad, yeah, because as soon as I said it, I was like, oh, crap. What did I do?
I got drawn into one of those Christian camps during the summer by my neighbor. So, but it wasn't weird. It was weird because, it was a Protestant one, and we were grew up Catholic, so that was the big sticking point.
Like, yeah,
going so to that kinda, Protestant
kinda
camp.
Weird.
Huh. Yeah, as soon as mom and dad realized what kids of the king was.
Kids of the king. King.
Yeah, kids of the king. Oh. I think it was.
Wow.
Kids of the king for Jesus.
But the tale, I mean, it's not the first time we've heard of a
we
game.
We love y'all, children.
It's not the first time we've heard of a game
it's
doing
like Tangina.
This. You know, that was scary.
That was what one of the guys kept saying.
We love y'all, children.
It was part of his. I just remember some fool talking and babbling.
We love y'all, children.
It's like, no, man. Try not to love me so much.
America's Army was, well, actually, no, this is not true, because the game wasn't doing the recruiting. It was people using the game to do recruiting. This is, well, I mean, we've done it. We did a story on that in the magazine before, where people will find online games in which to go and try to recruit people inside the game.
Yeah, Christian servers.
But that's different than what we're talking about here.
Yeah, but it's kind of awkward, because you still have to make that transition. You still, you know, it's kind of like, what do you do when you're in the, you know, when you... So if you're playing Battlefield or Call of Duty or any of these things and you go into a Christian server, at some point, see, a lot of the people we spoke to, they were saying, you know, it's very casual. So what happens is we create this, you know, fun environment and we won't proselytize in the server and we'll get people to join our team speak. And from there, we'll talk to them.
Sure.
Like maybe about this. But I've definitely been in some where there's like, you know, inspirational messages that will pop up on the server thing now and then as you're playing, and they'll kick you immediately if you swear or something, instead of being like, hey, why do you use that language to express yourself or something, you know?
Well, I mean, if they want to make a server or even a guild where like they just want to hang out with people,
I think that's all
people.
Fair.
But then
what if
you know, like, they're like, well, do you want to know about the real respawns? You know, I mean, like when they go to that kind of, you know, when they go into that tradition.
Are you ready for the final respawn?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like Jesus's respawn timer was 3 days.
You guys ever see that that old Simpsons episode where they're at the Springfield swap meet and like Bart and one of his other friends go up to Ned Flanders' little table and they're like, whoa, biblical trading cards. And then he's like, Methuselah rookie year, Joseph of Arimathea, 48 conversions in something AD. and then Flanders is like, see kids, these make learning about the Bible fun. and then now I feel like the fucking Chris Rock show. I mean, the Chris Farley show.
Uh-huh. That was awesome. Remember that
then
one?
Then he goes, learning, Bible, fun.
That was awesome.
That same, okay, so that same friend from the Christian camp.
What, the guy who
I went with. Yeah. And he was like, he wasn't feeling it either. Like, he is basically his parents split. His mom was like super... you know, played a really big part in this church. And like, so I don't offend any of our, you know, our Christian listeners or whatever, or even stating, you know, our own perspective on it. This is very, very ultra right wing to the point that, you know, when you'd go to their church, first thing they do is hand out a flyer to you and it would tell you what you're boycotting that week. And it would be anything from like Tide soap to be boycotted because they advertised on Days of Our Lives, a soap opera, which featured a homosexual character. Then 30 minutes into the sermon, you get a call and it's their former pastor who's imprisoned, you know, for having bombed a clinic, calling in to preach to you about how, you know, even Paul was in prison and he had spent time, you know, no less than Paul had spent time in prison. And when he comes out, you know, he'll be back doing his thing. And so it was they had this little tub in the back. And this is a good setup for this, because now you get to know about his mom's temperament. And when I tell you what we did, it'll resonate more. So at one point, she made him go to this school there. And his dad now is massively secular. He's one of the senior detectives for Escondido Police Department in Southern California. And he got sick of it. He's like, I'm getting mad out of the school. This is crazy shit. And when he heard about how they were beating him and stuff, like they make him go look at the shed out the window. And, you know, they spank him. They have like some stick. It's like the apostle be good stick or something, you know, they whoop your shit with that. So one day his dad goes in there and he goes to the principal and he's like, get Matt, we're going, we're leaving. And the guy wouldn't do anything. So he just was like, okay. And then I'm going to go walk. And there's only like 4 classrooms here. So he starts going down the halls one by one, opening the door and looking in and seeing if he sees Matt. And then he finally gets to the one and tells him like, all right, Matt, let's go. And all the other kids are looking. And then I guess the teacher runs up and like,
trying to push the dad out. You got to get out of here. And then the epic story, like his dad just like dropped it. He's like laid him out with the punch and then grabbed Matt up under his arm and left.
So the teacher?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that's a dream come true. Imagine if you're a student, you're like, my dad just fucked you up, dude. What do you say? So that's kind of mean. But then at one point when we were staying at his mom's for the weekend, we had to do like if I would spend the night, if we wanted to go play or something, we first had to do all the chores, which is whack because he was only there on weekends. So we had to, you know, clean up dog shit and mow the lawn and all this stuff. And then we had to memorize Bible verses, like me too, just because if I stayed over. And then we had to listen to like this program, and it was like this little machine. I think it's called Salty. And like the kids are talking about how you get this thing to work. And they're like, you know, we can only get it to work if you praise God with all of your heart and all of your might. And then all of a sudden, Matt was like, oh no, we'll never get it to work. And immediately his mom came out and she was just like stricken dumb. Could not believe what kind of monster she had raised.
Oh man.
How was that for a detour?
Wow.
That was quite a detour. Were you a devil child, though?
We're getting in some uncomfortable territory.
We are.
Yeah.
let it be said, though, to all our religious listeners that we're equal opportunity haters. We'll make fun of.
Oh, and to differentiate between, I mean, the whole point of my saying that, okay, there's a difference when you're pastor's calling in from prison because he was convicted of bombing shit and your everyday believer of whatever adherent of whatever faith, like more than capable of knowing the difference. And even like TBN or something, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah.
There are many.
Still this tactic of a church using it. I mean, whatever, I guess kind of more power to him. It strikes me a little bit like, you know, hey kid, you want some candy? I don't know.
It definitely is.
You know?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. It's very bald, you know, just come play some video games and then we'll talk to you about something else. It's a bait and switch, you know?
Yeah. Might as well be selling timeshares.
Pretty much.
Timeshares, you know what you're getting into, though. So,
I don't know. I'm assuming these things were happening within some sort of church building.
And it probably just happened. Mm-hmm. To get this story, it probably just happened. It probably happened at the church I was just talking about.
Right.
And that was it. Now it's national news.
Right.
Also, you got to wonder, I mean, you would think that a game like that would just kind of be counter, I don't know. Here's what you don't want to be doing, kids. Killing things.
I don't know. I think you can have perspective and say, like, so.
Well, they are aliens.
Shoot a bunch of Muppets, you know, in this game. I mean, it's not like
plant zombies.
True.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's
you're supposed to love thy neighbor, not thy alien.
Compatible with.
Hate thy alien.
Yeah, but I mean, look, hey. That's why I thought it was particularly kind of unfair. Like, for one, like, if they're saying it's a mature rated game, and I really do, I don't think it is. But I mean, if you go in there and you can read about, you know, Jephthah's daughter, or you can read about, I forget the famous concubine who was cut in after being, you know, brutally raped, was cut into X number of pieces by her family member and sent to the various tribes of Judah. Mm-hmm. If you're reading the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, the story of the flood itself, mm-hmm. Hey, what's shooting some Muppets, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's not like everyone knows. It's. I mean,
true.
It's not like the, particularly the Old Testament or even the story of the crucifixion aren't very, you know, violent and powerful, you know, themes, you know?
Yeah, I guess when you think about it, you could probably make a cool FPS out of some of the Bible stories.
Sadly, people already have already beat you to it.
That's right.
Damn it.
How do you say that one?
Catechumen?
Catechumen.
Yeah, but did they have like a chain gun, you know, like with a shotgun on the end of it?
They did? Yes.
Oh, shit.
You just shoot devils and stuff. Yeah, it was basically Duke Nukem, but you just changed whatever it was you're shooting Duke Nukem to the devil. Mm-hmm. Biggity bab. You got yourself a shooter and a lesson of some sort.
Uh-huh. That's presumably. Like everything all at once. that's
the lesson?
Edutainment.
Mm-hmm.
That's edutainment.
So what else we got?
Holy crap. How did we get on that?
We got, because we read
a news story about
it. Yeah. Wasn't there a second news story this week? We had a second one.
Yeah, Ryan's got a movie coming out. And he's excited to
see it. Yeah, Ryan's movie.
Here we got an EverQuest movie.
Finally.
Excited, yeah. Mm.
Is this based on one of the 12 expansions? What's the movie about?
I don't know. It's about EverQuest.
It's the ruins of Kunark, the movie.
It's that dude from Marvel Studios who's producing it. So that's
wait, is this like a real thing? Well, what's the deal? Tell us a story.
Lay it on us.
Sony
delivering it with gusto.
Sony is making an EverQuest movie. The dude who wrote 300, Michael Gordon, who wrote the 300 screenplay. Is apparently writing it.
Okay, that's good. That
sure, why
good.
Not?
No, it's not. Fucking lie.
You can't even pretend to be even marginally excited about this.
Well, no, I'm just saying that's good. That's a good pedigree. The guy wrote 300.
The guy adapted a graphic novel
this
very
little
literally.
Fucking Shakespeare writing it. Nothing's gonna fix it.
Well, don't be a hater. Read more.
I hate that all I want.
Says, you're defending. I want you to know you're appeasing EverQuest the movie fans. Fuck EverQuest.
Somebody
the movie
has
fans.
To.
Okay, hang on. The reason we're talking about this is to make fun of it, so it's cool.
No, we're not.
Yeah, well,
I'm
why,
into it.
No, we're
that's
not.
Why
I'm first
I brought in line. It here. I
well,
don't know what you guys are doing.
Ryan's
you guys have a different.
I'm
motivation.
Here to love.
So the big screen version of the massively popular multiplayer game has been in development for several years.
Yes.
But Michael Gordon is the first scribe to take a crack at the material.
Awesome.
What does that mean?
Well, he's going to give it a shot.
That means they've been developing it, but no one ever wrote a word about it.
What was in development? Yeah.
Some prosthetics guy that lives in his mom's basement was making...
trying to figure out the frog locks.
Yeah.
How are we going to do the frog locks? Can't do this without the frog locks.
What else does it say?
It says in the game, players create a character they use to explore the world of Norrath.
It's true.
Where they interact with other players or fight off creatures while going on quests for treasure.
The movie will be nothing like
that. Yeah.
Does it say like what it's based on or anything?
No.
What part of the universe?
No.
No one even gives a shit. It's just a name. It's just some random like pet. It's probably made by the dudes from American Movie. You know,
Coven?
Yeah, what's his name though?
Mike Shank and Borchardt.
That was a great movie.
That's a fantastic
movie. That movie.
Fuck EverQuest. Let's talk about that.
I want to know more. Is there anything? You keep reading, but you're not saying anything.
Well, that's kind of what the story is.
Are there more words on the page you haven't read yet?
Yeah.
Read them.
You just told me to read the whole thing verbatim.
After we interrupt him.
What's wrong with you, Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay. Sony Online Entertainment published the original version of the fantasy title in 1999, with a sequel following in 2004. EverQuest was the most popular online role-playing game from 2000 to 2004, before similar games such as World of Warcraft launched. It's also long been a major moneymaker for Sony, because in order to play, users must buy the game and pay a monthly fee to participate. At its peak, the title had more than 450,000 subscribers, ponying up $10 a month to play.
Wait, at its peak, it had more than 450,000?
One of the most popular games of its type, EverQuest has garnered rapt attention from the fanboy blogosphere, particularly IGN.
Fanboy blogosphere?
Yeah.
Are you reading this?
This is weird.
This is...
No. This is Variety.com.
Oh, shit. Talked about
something,
scribe, too.
Something at BlizzCon when they had their World of Warcraft panel just resonated in my head. Now, when Mitsun was saying, because they were like, I think the audience just assumed that, like, oh, World of Warcraft movie, instant money. But he said, even if all 9 million subscribers paid $10 each, you'd only have, what, $90 million made, and that's not enough to cover it.
Yeah. He was right. I mean, he was saying, like, that's not, our goal is not to make a movie for the World of Warcraft fan base, because that's not enough. Right. We just want to make, like, a great, freaking epic movie.
Hollywood's so fucking out of ideas. That's pathetic. They're making that shit. I mean, it's not new. I mean, with the fact that there's a Dungeons and Dragons movie that we all ripped on before.
The Dungeon Siege movie. Remember they made Dungeon Siege?
Did that ever come out?
Well, before that, dude. Dungeons and Dragons
came
out a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
The Dungeons and Dragons movie?
Yeah. That was awesome.
Did we all see it?
I saw it.
How sad is that?
I did. I saw it in the theater.
Yeah,
so bad.
That was sad.
But we all went.
That had Jeremy Irons in it.
I have some excuse, though.
I went, that was during my phase of life where I would see everything in the entire universe in a
theater.
Was
it like, were you probably like dating someone and it was within the first like year of their relationship? That phase when you see every movie that comes out.
Every damn movie.
Yeah.
Or where you're in high school.
It was college. Yeah, we were
anything.
Well, I'm trying to find something to grasp onto here with it. Some saving grace of the EverQuest movie, but there's none, dude.
Don't even lie to yourself. There's nothing about it. Fuck that movie. It shouldn't be made. I mean, I've spent that money EverQuest on something worthwhile, like filling the seasonal aisle at Rite Aid with a bunch of shit that just needs to be built inside the landfill, so it doesn't have to go anywhere. Don't waste fuel.
Build it straight in the landfill.
Yeah. Open up the factory in the landfill.
Eliminate the middleman of a store. Yeah.
When you're done, pull the supporting fucking.
So it's like instead of straight to DVD, straight to landfill.
Yeah.
The thing about EverQuest, and I haven't played like the last 12 expansions, but when I played it before even the first expansion, the thing that struck me about it was that it was so generic.
Yeah.
That I have no idea what the story was when I was playing it at all. And I think that was kind of the thing they were going for, was just like, this could be any fantasy. This is your fantasy. So like to turn it into like some movie with a plot.
Yeah. I mean, say what you will about World of Warcraft, at least they have had a story all along.
Right. At least they're...
The idea of a movie actually makes sense because they've been telling a story.
They have lore
all along.
Well, we have. And I know EverQuest does have lore, but like when
EverQuest fans are going to spam
us. They have that chick who's been on the cover of every box.
Oh, I guess it would star her.
They're so apathetic.
So let's
cast her. Not even the EverQuest number one fan can overcome the apathy to write us and tell us that they think that they're excited for this movie.
I bet you it's going to happen. I bet
it will not.
And we will read that out loud.
Someone will do it as a joke now to prove you right, because they want to be one of your banana riders. Let's talk about. It's been a while since we've made like off non gaming recommendations, but we brought up American movie.
Mm-hmm.
We need to tell our listeners that if you haven't, the wise ones among you have already seen it, have it in your collection. But it's a fantastic documentary.
It is. American movie.
Yeah, yes. I love it. And
watch it and then watch it again with the commentary, because it has one of the most bizarre, because it's them commenting on their own movie.
I have to see
that. Oh, I haven't seen that.
It's just so surreal and awesome.
And doesn't the DVD have Coven on it?
It does have Coven.
So the quick filler.
In its entirety.
Quick synopsis is it's a documentary about basically a guy and his friend who decide that they want to be big Hollywood types and produce, you know, some horror movie. But he has, it's mainly one guy, and his mm-hmm. friend's just kind of like his dodo sidekick. Mm-hmm. Who's like the best friend you could ever have. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just
totally,
mm-hmm. he's the nicest dude, but he's also the most brain dead, drug mm-hmm.
yeah,
spaced
he's like
out.
The Barney Rubble of American movie.
And so this guy, the thing is that his artistic drive is very real. And this is why it's so good, is that, and everyone who's ever aspired to do anything and feel good about it can relate, because it's like you always doubt yourself. You have mm-hmm. the second guess. Am I the guy making the equivalent of the Coven, no mm-hmm. matter what? And it's mm-hmm. Coven because he doesn't want... Because
Coven rhymes with oven.
Because Coven rhymes with oven, and he doesn't like that. So it's Coven. And it's just painful to see, because it's like he's always like right on the cusp of realizing that, he really does suck.
Uh-huh.
The other complication is that, of course, when you work in film, you're working... It's not like writing a book or a screenplay or something on your own. But he needs all these other people to perform.
Yep.
The best he can get is like some local douchebag from like the Shakespeare in the Park or something, who mm-hmm. overacts everything to this ridiculous extent. Mm-hmm. And then the rest, it's like his family, his mom and stuff. And they're supposed to be dressed up like evil witches, and they're standing there looking all glum like someone stole their Halloween candy. You know,
what's the thing that the old guy yells? That we were reciting that around the office.
It's all right.
Oh, it's okay.
It's okay. Something to live for. Jesus told me.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah.
I'm done doing this. Yeah, and that guy is, I mean, like, it's just this. We're talking about the character's, is his grandfather, right? Or is this like his great uncle or something?
Yeah.
And he's kind of provides the funding for this guy's crazy, you know, harebrained scheme to make movies, and he also plays a role in the movie, but he's just so cynical. It's just a guy, you know, you're like the thing none of us ever want to be. When you get to the point where you're like too apathetic to kill yourself, but you don't see any reason to live whatsoever, you know, and then your nephew puts the lines in your mouth about how you've got something to live for, when the guy so clearly has nothing to live for, you know.
I mean, it's kind of like the real life Ed Wood.
Yeah, like, that's right. He is kind of like
I love that movie too, the Tim Burton one, where you just got like this guy who's so cheerful about his terrible crap,
right?
And like these just like cast of really quirky weirdos that just hang out with them and are just best
friends. Yeah, you're right. It's like a real life Ed Wood.
Yeah, these are real people.
Highly recommended.
That's the thing to know when you watch it. Like, I remember recommending it to someone, and I think he got like halfway through it before he realized it was a documentary.
Not a joke. Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, God, this is incredible.
Yeah.
But at first he was like skeptical, you know, and he's like, I have no idea what it would be like to see that.
I mean, I remember having conversations where we knew it was a documentary, but afterwards we're just like, that's not real, is it? That can't be real.
Yeah.
This cannot be a real situation.
Yeah. But that's the stuff you couldn't make up.
They're classic moments that we haven't spoiled. I mean, we haven't even touched on. The whole thing is full of them. And also, I want to recommend, if you guys haven't seen it, I'll bring in the DVD for you. It's called Home Movie, and that was the next documentary that Chris, whatever, who directed that one.
I guess I didn't see that.
And it's awesome.
That's awesome, too.
Huh. Yeah, it's on about four people or four groups of people who live in extremely unorthodox houses. So it might be some, you know, neo-hippies living in what used to be an Atlas missile silo in Kansas, you know, where they would basically plan to conduct World War III from, to a crazy and like totally lovable guy who lives in a house where he's just like a tinker, and it's like everything is robotic and computer controlled. He can dial, but very, you know, kitschy, like 60s style. Like, he's got this piece of shit robot that he made called A-Rock, and it's like he's convinced that, you know, when you die, you can come back and live in A-Rock. And Michael Jackson heard about it and made an inquiry about buying it from him. And there's people like cat freaks that live in a house that's basically dedicated to their 20-something cats. A really cool guy who lives in a houseboat in Louisiana and who raises alligators for a living. But yeah, you're sitting there rolling your eyes, Jeff.
No, I'm not.
This is a good show. It's a good show.
All right. It's considered on my queue.
If you're listening, you could come back and give me your hate mail if either of these disappoint you. But I know they're not.
GFW recommends.
Unless you're like I'll throw out Fast, Cheap, and Out of Control out there too. You ever see that?
Oh no,
Errol Morris.
Oh, Errol Morris. So this is the Thin Blue Line guy, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. Another one of those. I don't want to go too detailed.
I didn't see that one. I did.
That
I just looked
awesome.
Up.
That one's like another one of those four disparate characters that he's like kind of detailing the lives of them, and they're so different, but like the way he edits it, they're like they flow into each other. It's just awesome. There's like a guy who studies like blind mole rats, and another guy who's like a lion tamer, and then another guy
the same guy.
No, this is Errol Morris.
Oh, okay, Errol Morris.
And then another guy who's like a
everyone's been telling me to get this.
You should see it.
Okay, now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
and what was the other guy? He does what?
Who's the fourth guy? The fourth guy. His lion tamer. Oh, he makes little robots. Robot maker.
Okay.
So.
Huh.
Crumb is also good. The thing that, like, I'm guessing combined.
Fantastic.
The common feature with all those is that the documentarians, I mean, they're working with eccentric subject matter. The people are entertaining, you know, in their own right, but it's very, you know, sympathetically put together. But in a way that, I mean, it's not afraid to show these people's faults and, you know, their idiosyncrasies and all this. But at the end of the day, you look at them and it's very touching, you know, like,
right.
You know, it's not like, hey, let's look at these freaks. Right.
Well, I think we're responding to all these kind of documentaries here because in some ways we're in our own kind of fringe culture.
You could do these things on so many people, you know.
Right.
I mean, Trekkies is another classic.
The first Trekkies is
another must-see. You can tell I like documentaries.
Well, these are great ones. Yeah.
Those are all awesome, awesome documentaries.
Yeah, Crumb is particularly great if you have any interest in comics at all.
And music, too.
And music,
yeah,
right.
Especially,
very
know.
True.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird because I saw that, but like almost right before I moved out here. So then, like, watching it again after I had seen it was like a different movie.
After the area.
Yeah, and they're just like the character of the area is just like.
You can see his brother is still around here in San Francisco.
You see him sometimes?
Yeah. He's not far from this office, actually.
What kind of medication he's on nowadays?
I'd like to walk by and just give him a copy of GFW.
Yeah, tell him to listen to
my picture.
Yo, yo.
Yeah.
When are we going to tape another promo? It's going to backfire.
Right after
they're going to get so sick of hearing that shit.
The GFW rap.
Kill us.
Are they still playing that thing?
Probably. That's all we got right now.
GFW, yo, yo.
Because for a while we were good. It would be like every week we'd get a new one going.
Let's do one right after this.
Done one.
Let's just do it.
But I want to see if we can get Zoo. We do like a full on remix of the GFW rap with Jeff. Uh-huh. We get like Zoo to Granny to do some of his magic on it.
Zoo to Granny, let's get like Kanye or somebody out here to produce for us.
We could do that.
I want to go big time now.
Okay.
Now that I'm the great middle aged white rap star,
it's popular shit. It's very popular.
I'm happy to see that thing still get brought up in threads.
What,
you know, the rap.
Yeah. People get mad about the line about walking and the sound of us walking on your mom's ass, though. They don't like that.
They don't like that sound?
It's not funny like Lolcats.
Well, what is Sean?
Well, actually,
it's not much funnier than Lolcats.
It's more played out than Lolcats at this point. We need to make some new shit.
Let's just do it.
That new outdated shit.
Lolcats had about... actually, Lolcats was funny up until the day someone called it Lolcats.
Yeah.
Those early versions of the Lolcats were
until funny. They turned it into a career.
Then it became Hercats. H-U-R-R.
Her.
Hers got played out, too.
Let's do this. After we're done here, let's try recording something and see what happens. And if you hear it, it worked. And if you don't, didn't work.
Then that means we had no comedy for you.
Bond.
Yeah.
Jeff, you got
lay it out there. We have anything else on our list here?
I don't know.
Making documentary recommendations.
You know, Ryan,
we had the...
Yep.
Just the developments with Bungie and their relationship with Microsoft.
Yes.
You know, it's almost time. I want to get home and go play some Team Fortress.
Yeah.
And
our only take on that really was just if Bungie is really free from Microsoft and Halo, that maybe they'll get back to their...
To their roots
and make some Mac games. you guys are going to say PC games.
No.
I remember them from their Mac.
Their roots is Mac. Yes
it is.
Is that right?
I'd like to see Marathon 4 for the Mac. Mm-hmm. Baby. Marathon 4 for the Mac. That's what I'm voting that Bungie's next game is. And if not, then Myth 3.
Sounds like the end of Halo 3, the true end of Halo 3. Plug your ears if you don't want spoilers.
I'm on the last mission
of
Halo
3.
It's
set up in such a way that it...
Ah!
Maybe they go into Marathon.
Really?
Is
it a cliffhanger?
It's possible.
Don't spoil. No, did you spoil?
They go to another world.
Way to spoil.
You spoiled it, dude.
I gave him the spoiler warning.
But not,
we're
going to
gonna have to add some echo to that on the
spoiler.
Spoiler! You know, I don't know if we want to bring this up or not, and I know we all want to get home, but we have been getting some shit on at least a couple forums about us saying heroic is hard.
Oh, yeah. That was
whatever.
The whole point of that.
Of course we are.
The whole point of that, it was great. Like, you know, the first one we got, and your response was like, because we're pussies in a tunnel full of dicks. Because, you know, that was basically what he was saying.
Well, right. That's why I said that.
You know, even Mark McDonald stopped me today to ask me, why are you trolling Halo? Like, trolling at my ass. What? We play something, we want to talk about it. And all I know is you go around trumpeting this mode. And I honestly, you know...
I see serious flaws with this mode.
Yeah, it's not enjoying it so much. And at the same time, I've had so many people like PM me, send me, you know, messages and stuff saying like, hey, thank God. Like, I felt like I was alone.
Uh-huh.
And it was like all these people that like, they don't want to say anything because they just know people are going to say, well, you suck.
Hey, Shane's playing it on easy.
And then the confusion one, it wasn't that I couldn't beat it. But is that I just said I was like, you know what? This isn't fun.
Right.
I don't need to do
that's
it.
That's just because you suck.
I beat it on heroic.
Which is the response. And then I had someone say, oh, because he doesn't know anything about console FPS, which was fucking hilarious to me. Because, God, if only you knew how many. It's really to the point where, with the exception of Killzone, I've played every single console FPS in existence.
That doesn't make you good,
Sean. To the saddest extent, from like right down to like Fugitive Hunter and RoboCop for Xbox.
I don't even know what you're saying here.
Fugitive Hunter was the game where like it ended when you catch Osama bin Laden.
Really?
You kick him in the shit until
that's
he fried.
Is that the one that had that awesome
helicopter.
Rap?
Osama bin Laden, where you been hiding? You coming for me? Well, I'm coming for you.
No.
Tap your ass on the PS2. Yeah, that was, you could.
It's a music video.
That would play. Because he rhymed Laden with hiding.
That's nice.
Osama Laden, where you been hiding?
Shit, if you can use an accent like that, you can make anything.
That's cheating. You could unlock the video of that dude in the studio. I forget his name. That was some hot shit. But so, of course, then you could say, well, that's a piece of shit FPS, and that doesn't mean you know anything about console FPS. It's the same shit once. But no.
Whatever.
I played all the Halo games. I played, you name it, like...
I played it, so that was.
Well, you didn't
but
play
it was
Killzone,
annoying.
Said,
but
well,
I should have just. My response should always be, "I'm a pussy."
Well, that's what mine.
That's the only. That's the only response.
Well, right, that is the only response.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess we're all done with that game.
Mm-hmm.
Are we all done, period?
It's like this again. More analogies. Before, I gave you the one about like extreme bongitude. Now, the one that seems appropriate for me is, you know, when you go swimming at a lake or a river or something with your friends and you find some cliff and you're all up there and you're like, you jump the first time, then you dive, and then you do a flip, and it's never enough. There's always that one piece of shit up there like, come on, do a triple, man. And then you all stand there for an hour waiting for him to think he's going to do one, and then he doesn't. Or if he does do it, it's just so he, like, you know, hits his head or something. Like, dude,
what?
Shut the fuck up.
I don't even know. How does this relate?
Because I'm saying, like, you know, I play on normal. You got to play on heroic, man. Go okay. for heroic. I played okay. heroic. You got to do legendary, man. I played legendary. You got to do legendary with skulls, man. So it's like it never ends,
ends.
By the time you're doing the fucking Greg Louganis onto the rocks on your head, you're so dumb from the experience in the first place from, you know, hitting your head.
Yeah. I don't have that kind of time to do these things over and over either.
Yeah.
I finally finished Bioshock this weekend, and I'm not going to play it a second. Yeah, I know. I'm slow. But I feel done now.
People are already turning on Bioshock.
I noticed that, and I was going to bring that up. The Bioshock backlash
and they did
has
the
already
dumbest
started.
Thing. The people that are doing
seems
that
a
are
late,
like,
actually.
Yeah. Well, all it is, I mean, because they tried to like recast the terms of the discussion into, well, all there is about Bioshock is this alleged, you know, binary moral choice of whether or not you harvest or what? Not. And it's like, well, did you forget about the part where it's so much fun to use all the plasmids and the weapons okay. and to hack if you're so inclined and all this stuff? And, hey, you know, this will be the next argument. Oh, my God, is he saying the combat in Bioshock's better than Halo on Legendary? It's like, hey, to me, honestly, it is because yes. I would rather hack a drone, have that with me, go in, freeze this dude, and they electrocute this guy and shoot him and stuff. And I mean, hey, it is fun to me. I have to
admit. That's because you're a pussy.
That shit's fun. And if it's because I'm a pussy, then so be it. But no, but ultimately it reminds me more of like the experience, you know, when I'm playing online or something, which is so weird about because Halo on those difficulty levels is the exact opposite of Halo Online, where the really good players are constantly moving. They're so, you know, rapidly changing, you know, melee, grenade, this and that, vehicle, all that, and then you take it and you turn it to that very slow, you know, crawl through the things. But yeah, people were turning on Bioshock.
Yeah, they're
already.
Turning on Bioshock. I've noticed that.
It's the Halo 3
I'm
testosterone.
Not. Oh, I'm not turning on it. I think it was one of the best games of the year, and it's still going to be one at the end of the year.
I would gladly play Bioshock again, and I never want to play Halo campaign again. And I'm not just saying
I'm
that
totally
to be
there
a reaction.
I'm totally there
it's like,
with
I
you.
Honestly, hey, I wish it made me that happy. It would be something else to like. You know, like when someone you know is really into some comic book or a TV show, and at the end of the day, if you watch it and you don't get it, you're kind of like, well, it would be great because it's fun to find something new that
sure.
you really do love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're proven wrong or something, it's like the best thing in the world. Like, oh, I got like two more seasons of this to catch up with. This is
right.
awesome.
Yeah.
So it's like I don't go in there wanting to hate it, but then – and I don't hate it.
Well, it's a –
but it was like it was
a common
fun for what it yeah. was, but not fun enough to make me want to play it again.
Right.
It,
that's actually a –
single player.
If it's a misperception.
Single player and yeah. That's opposed to co-op or something, you know. So maybe, hey, if a group of people gets together and wants to play, that's another story and you know – multiplayer, of course.
I had a fine time with the Halo campaign. I mean, I played it on normal, and I found it to be a fun game to play when I was taking breaks from other games. Because you just, you know, the difficulty on normal to me was just at the right point where I could just kind of blaze through it without having to think too much.
Right.
And just get to the next part.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But
yeah,
I
you'd have to really like
it
to want to spend that much time with it.
Yeah, it's not like I was playing it out of a sense of obligation. I was genuinely enjoying it. It just
yeah,
uh-huh. Me too.
It's like if you get a really long movie or a really, you know, dense book, it's like it can be as long and dense as it wants as long as you're really enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not, then
you're like, all right, just get to it.
Couldn't this just be 300 pages yeah. instead of 1,000? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just my experience with.
Yeah, I was just going to add to your point earlier. I think that. In general, like, we want to like stuff, right? I mean, that's,
totally. Always.
You know,
of course.
I mean, it would be ideal for us, and I think it's a misconception or that we enjoy bashing stuff or whatever, that when we write a negative review, it feels like we're just, like, having fun with it. I mean, sometimes we are because it's kind of cathartic.
Yeah.
Like, we had to spend 40 hours playing this piece of shit. I'm going to get my revenge now. But for the most part, I think it's... I mean, is there ever a case where it's not a bummer to be reviewing a bad game? You know, I think we all want to like the stuff that we're playing, and it just makes our lives better. Like you're saying,
clarify,
to have good
games.
We're
not saying that Halo is a bad Halo 3 is a bad
game. I'm not saying that.
Like, I don't want it to be confused with that. Because, like I said, I mean, some parts I think are really like genuinely fantastic.
See, we keep. Why do we keep apologizing about Halo though? I know why.
Because well, it's true.
We're
though.
The official
it's
like, Microsoft.
I don't
magazine.
Think it's a piece of shit, and I don't think it sucks. But what I'm saying is I don't think it's the best shit I've ever played to the point, or I don't even think it's so good that it makes me want to play it again.
Yeah.
Right. But that's not, there's plenty of things. It's that there's plenty of games and plenty of movies and books and entertainment in all formats where I like it and I enjoy doing it. I just don't want to do it again. I don't want to buy like the VHS and go and watch it every night that week of certain movies, you know.
I'm not sure if I'll play Bioshock again. I may or may not. I thought it was awesome though.
Yeah. It'll be fun to wait a while, I think. But I wanted to say too that I'll admit I'm very skeptical going into anything that's been massively hyped, but I have so many instances in my experience where like the whatever it is, the game, the movie, the comic is so good it completely blows that away. Like Preacher, the book, is one of my favorite comic series, and like God, I was so determined to hate on that thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I'd heard so much about it and I was like, okay, you know, here are these Philistines recommending it's going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and I was skeptical the first book. And then, like, by the end of the second one, it's like, went back to the store and bought, like, every one of them, every one of the collections. And then it was like, okay, this is definitely one of my favorite graphic novel collections.
Yeah, quite often you can't, one can believe the hype.
Yeah, I mean, and that goes for so many things, you know.
I mean, my current one is Heroes. You all know
Right, that's right. You've stonewalled Heroes.
I know.
Even though we all know that you would love it. It's, like, totally your thing.
As soon as I start watching it, I'm sure it'll be great. But
it's like me in World of Warcraft.
Do you guys have the DVDs of that?
Of Heroes?
Yeah, so I can catch up. And
I don't.
Nope.
I will have them
soon. I need the Ken Burns thing, too. They want $180 bucks for that. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's like, shit. And it's so sad. You go to the PBS site, and it's like the testimonials. It's like, I'm so glad that my children can get a piece of history for the low price of $179.99. Dude,
what's in there that is that much money?
Serious,
that's a lot of money.
Reefer, say that.
What does it come with?
I don't know. An actual soldier comes to your house,
protects
an 80-year-old guy, and tells you stories.
Hey, God, sit down. I'll tell you a story about Stalingrad.
Let's pan over these pictures.
Yeah.
So don't give me that.
Well, I felt that I plugged the war that very first episode when we podcasted a couple weeks ago because I had watched the first one and I really enjoyed it. So I wanted to make sure everybody who listened here got a little edumacation. And then I never watched another episode after that.
I want to see what I think
terrible
about
timing.
It. I've heard some complaints and I want to see how they stack up.
I couldn't watch it because I had the Ugly Betty season premiere to watch.
Oh, yes.
Important
TV. That's pretty sad. Did you just say that? Why did we just let that go?
What? Did I say that out loud?
You didn't watch the war because you had to see a season premiere of Ugly Fucking Betty?
Hey, Ugly Betty is great. And America Ferrera won an Emmy for her.
Fantastic
comic performance.
And you
know
what?
You know what, Sean?
You
know what? You just tossed out an Emmy.
You know what the irony is, Sean? Inside, she's not ugly.
I know. How many times did you get? I got so sick of reading like Entertainment Weekly or something. Like one of the hottest shows. This it works, or you know they have her like a spot on some other TV show. Like this show just works because she's got so much character, and so much personality.
Jeff,
and it's like she's not even like that.
She's not
ugly.
It's the only offensive thing about that show. She is actually not.
They need to get someone who's really
right. They could they could really have done it.
There's a lot of times like those teen movies will do that. Just put glasses on and give them a ponytail and say, they're ugly.
And they could have come to this office here if they wanted to find some ugly.
Yeah.
Ryan? Glamour shots.
You watched Gilmore Girls.
I watched 6 seasons of Gilmore Girls. I didn't miss an episode. God, and I'm proud.
I'm just pointing that out.
I got a wife and a daughter. I live with females. It rubs off on you. I'm part female.
Ryan and I live with females, and we didn't watch no Gilmore
Girls. Gilmore Girls was an awesome television show. Up until the last season, which sucked. Seasons 1 through 5 were...
Do we need to have this conversation
again? Yeah, please edit out my... Yeah. There's a few shows going on at my female-oriented household that I am not part of,
When Desperate Housewives or Grey's Anatomy comes on, that's when I'm upstairs killing my fellow gamers in Team Fortress 2.
Nice.
I promise you that.
You mean that's when you're pointing the proton pack at him?
So you can join us in TeamSpeak. You were just the audience to everything we were saying in the game.
I was. I was lolling over chat.
You don't have a...
I do. It just wasn't set up. But I was a live participant to Sean's griefing, and it was pretty hysterical last night. Yeah.
You got that guy going.
Yep.
Let's go home.
Are we done? We're going home. We're all going to go home and watch Heroes tonight, except for Sean, because he's a hater. Oh, we're going to record our promo.
Wait, we're going to go watch Heroes? Oh, this Sean's
a
hater.
I'm not going to watch it.
What's that?
I'm not a hater.
I don't have cable.
Don't watch it.
Yeah. Well, Ryan and I are going to watch Heroes while we spoon.
Okay.
We'll see you
Ryan's
next
going, No, Ryan's going to the That's... HR department upstairs when we're done.
And I'll see who gets a promotion first. I think it's going to be Ryan.
Well. Ryan likes that. That didn't even get a what the hell, so you know he's thinking about it.
What the hell?
All right, we'll be back more week with... And more week. We'll be back more weeks from now with more nonsense. Goodbye.
We're too tired to record a promo. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, we're leaving.
The Star Wars Battlefront Entertainment Pack includes all new, limited edition, lighter, slimmer, white PSP with Darth Vader art and Star Wars Battlefront Renegade Squadron game. Play on widescreen LCD or on any TV with video out.